We ready?
I'm rolling. Aren't
you? Are we rolling? Good.
Go.
We're set?
Go. He said go.
You're not rolling until the microphone is put in its place, Rob.
No, actually, we are rolling. The microphone's just not in its place.
Yes, but when we're ready to go and you say go ahead, and then that drives me crazy.
All I said was we're rolling.
All right. Anyway, welcome to the show.
Jesus. Happy to be here.
Joined in progress.
Delighted. Oscar, you think you're spreading yourself too thin?
Yeah, I'm a little tired.
When you melt into the couch like that, when you tuck yourself into the corner of the couch like your cell phone, yeah, you look a little sleepy.
How many podcasts are we doing now? Now that I'm, gainfully unemployed I just have the day to sit in my bathrobe and pick my ass.
And observe others. Worry.
Yeah. I'm exhausted, not because of the workload. I had,
Just rehearsing, I was just testing you.
Would you and Rob, would you like to start over again today? Is there a chance?
Well, the iPod might want to start over.
Right. Rob was late because Rob had to turn around because he forgot stuff, and then he was late, and then.
But still not the last one here.
Well, the reason why I look so relaxed, Mike, if you ask.
Xanax?
No, I had an hour-long session with Andre at 7 a.m. this morning.
The masseuse?
Oh, the ass masseuse.
Andre! Yeah. Andre the masseuse. Well, maybe you could ask Andre about this little subject that we start the show with today. And that is handed to be by our own... Rob may have been late, but he brought me a wonderful little thing.
He did.
Because I love it when I'm handed opening vignettes for the show. You know why?
Why?
Because I'm a lazy F.
No.
You had a busy night.
We did.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I did.
Take me out to the ball
hold on.
Game.
Take What's that?
Wait not.
Oh, I thought it was a large condo.
Sorry about that, gentlemen. Talk amongst yourselves. I really want to make
sure.
That's
your afternoon supplement, you
because
know.
Because of me, we're doing mornings technically right now. Is this midday drive? In some places, it's mornings.
This is midday, usually, the midday
that's
shift.
Three of us who need to start.
I got these from Dr. Conrad.
No. Hey, did you hear the good tape?
We're going to talk about that later on. Yeah.
I have that for the vault. You know, that's Elvis quality stuff there.
Oh. You got a pill in your
eye.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those aren't small pills either.
Are you drinking a beer with your weight knot?
No,
it's
a diet.
Dr. Pepper. Oh. Which I'm not supposed to drink on weight now. It's supposed to be tea, but not carbonated.
Well.
This is all we have in the house. I didn't want to go with water
Dr.
today.
Dr. Pepper, so misunderstood.
Diet Dr. Pepper. Mm-hmm. I know I'm breaking the rules, RJ. I know I'm doing that. And you don't drink carbonated beverages. That's right. Okay, very good.
But you know what? You're supposed to enjoy Dr. Pepper at 10, 2, and 4. And with our early start time,
it's
10. Right on schedule.
10, yeah.
So these are rude hand gestures around the world. And I am fascinated by other countries. I really am. Seriously.
Cultures.
I am fascinated by what other countries consider, you know, flipping somebody off. And they're all different.
Right.
And
yes,
we've
are.
Got these. Now, for our Ustreamers, I'm going to hold up this picture. This is called the chin flick. You've seen this a lot where it's Bafangul.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing. Whoa. Let me see where this
dumped on a Milan affiliate.
What's that's a shame.
In the Middle East, they throw shoes.
It is used, the chin flick is used in Belgium, France, Northern Italy, and here's a wild card, huh? Tunisia.
Hey, we're going to Tunis for tuna salad sandwiches.
It means get lost. In France, this gesture is known as la barbe, the beard. The idea being that the gesturer is flashing his masculinity in the same way that a buck will brandish his horns.
Yeah, Mark.
Or a cock his comb.
Uh-huh.
Exactly, Mike.
Would you like to see my comb?
Simply brush the hand under the chin in a forward flicking motion.
I prefer the former to the latter.
While not as aggressive as flashing one's actual genitalia, this gesture is legal and remains effective as a mildly insulting brush off. Rob hands me this. I read the first one. I make the decision.
Flashing
we go with it.
Genitalia.
That's why. If the rest of them suck, it's because I didn't read ahead.
Keep in mind, it's not as aggressive as flashing your genitalia, which is considered pretty aggressive.
Very. Except in Florida.
Or needy.
In Latin America, we say, ay.
Ay.
Now, this one isn't explained, but this looks like he's patting his elbow, and it's not laid out here.
It's like
because you when you printed it got chopped off.
Oh, it got chopped?
Yeah.
Oh.
So we
never
have
know.
It.
We'll never know.
Looks like all that. All
the Mike O'Meara show. We sweat the details. I assume this means you're going like this?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That means...
I checked.
Now, it's not the gesture where you hit your
bicep. No, it's not that at all.
Now, wait a minute, Rob. Wait, you're not... Because this looks like this was cut off, but it's just the photo that got cut off.
And then is there something on perhaps the next page or under it? Everything seemed to... Is there something written under it?
Let me see. No. No,
damn
it's
it.
Not there, so I don't know. But it looks like... if they don't explain the gesture, I'm not going to be able to do
there's
this.
Okay. No point in
But it looks like he is grabbing his hand and patting under his elbow.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like, kind of like, hey.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
so it's
no
patting
good.
The elbow. That's what it looks like. And
patting
it says, you're stingy. This is used in Mexico and Codo. South America.
That's
do you know
what they call
this?
It. Codo.
Do you know the gesture?
I've never seen it, but now it makes sense. My mom used to always call my dad Codo.
Did she ever do the gesture?
No, she never did the gesture.
It says, just as the heart is associated with love, so in many Latin American countries is the elbow with stinginess.
Yeah.
In Mexico, the that's just, you know. In Mexico, the two are so closely linked that a miser is described as muy codo, very elbow.
Really?
I wonder what the connection is.
33 years later, I finally understand what the hell she was talking about.
The idea being
such
that
a backward nation.
He rarely straightens it to pay checks.
Oh, that makes sense.
If your compadre makes a habit of failing to pick up the check, you may wish to correct this behavior with a sharp gesture. For extra emphasis, bang your elbow on the table. Hey, cheap guy.
Hey, right. Muy elbow.
I like that. I like that. Now, this next one is two fingers around the nose, all right?
Two fingers around the nose.
Where it's
something
like this.
Smells?
It goes
okay.
Like this.
Oh, okay. Like
and
a peace sign
around
the nose.
Fishy smell. I find you untrustworthy. Used
yes, it
in
does
southern,
smell fishy.
Southern Italy, which again rears its ugly head.
Yes.
In business, it is important to let your associates know you can't be taken advantage of. This gesture informs them you are on to their attempts to deceive. To perform, move your nose side to side with index and middle finger. The movement suggests that something stinks and you're trying to rid yourself of the odor. Hey, you can't get one over on me. There you go.
All right. Hi. That's interesting.
All right. Hey, something smells.
Okay.
Now,
here's
like
one.
Kind of dorky,
this
you know?
Is one that I've always. This is the flick under the teeth with the thumb. You kind of. Flick under the teeth.
Oh, you've seen like that for years.
Yeah, what and is that? It means screw you and your whole family. Used commonly in India and Pakistan. Should you find yourself in India or Pakistan wishing to insult not just your host, but your host's entire family?
Oh, yeah,
well,
no,
sure, if you're going
back.
To do it, multitask.
Look no further than the cutest gesture. God, I don't know.
Spell it?
C-U-T-I-S. Its origins are unknown, but its effect is swift and severe.
Oh, no.
Simply make a fist, then flick the thumb off the front teeth while exclaiming, Kutia! Screw you! In short, you will find yourself ejected from the premises.
Well, sure.
Your mission to offend thoroughly accomplished.
Next time I go to an Indian restaurant,
now,
I'm
this
done
is a hand gesture where you make a V and you point it down towards your genitalia.
Oh, I see. Oh, yes.
As Buzz does often.
It's used in Greece, and its meaning is, I am ignoring you.
Waddle doodle.
The little translation of, God, I'm not going to read it. I don't know what it means. The phrase that accomplishes this gesture is, I write it on my testicles.
What?
In Sharpie.
You put your hands in a V and you point them down to your testicles.
I'm going to try that at Thanksgiving.
Because you always go to a big Greek Thanksgiving, don't
you? That's my brother-in-law.
Of course.
He's Greek. There may well be people who, out of a strange psychological compulsion or simply boredom, actually write on their testicles, here's the
yeah,
threat.
Yeah, Mark.
Here, the threat is simply metaphorical and tells the subject you're ignoring him. One needn't possess testicles to use this gesture, which is employed by men and women alike. So that's kind of putting a V down there.
Do you know what this
testicles.
Reminds me of?
This is really a kind of educational. That's why I'm lingering.
When
with
we all
love
were,
about this
we
show.
Were younger and we would take a second language and you would meet someone from
Oscars
that,
was English.
From that country. And then you'd go to them with the bad words and say, hey, what does this mean?
Oh, yeah.
You're so
exactly.
excited
oh, yeah.
to learn the bad words. Yeah. I'm pumped to learn the bad.
Now, this looks like it's the...
Almost like the horns?
The hook 'em horns thing.
Okay.
And this gesture is
used the shocker.
In the Baltics, Brazil, Colombia, South America, coming up on Italy with this. The Baltics, Brazil, Colombia, Italy, Portugal, and Spain. And the meaning is your wife is unfaithful. I think I can explain it. That's the cuckold, you know, the horns.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Informing a friend that his wife has been unfaithful is an unhappy and delicate task. Fortunately, in many countries, it is simple to do. One simply gives him the corna.
Mm-hmm.
A very old sign. The corna dates back 2,500 years, and it represents the bull's horns.
I love
bulls
tradition.
Were commonly castrated to make them calmer.
Or two in the pink, one in the stink.
Oh,
But the bull. But
really?
Hey, Casey JJ. Hi, Steve.
Morning, fellas.
You might have to do a little editing on that one. Hey, wait. Here's the elbow.
I think my favorite one is still. I say screw you and your entire family. That is the most effective.
Now, this one is grab the elbow and kind of make an okay sign. So you're using the okay sign, but you're holding your elbow. Got no idea what this one is.
Let's see.
This one is used in southern Italy.
Is it
like
proximity to the equator? They're just hot-headed?
It's their Italians.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Hey, they use come on to you.
In southern Italy, craziness is indicated by this gesture.
Crazy.
In which one mimics the grinding of a pepper mill. The implication is that the subject's addled brain is whirring as fast as the mill's blades. God, how weird is that? So moving right along. This one looks like you're sitting there, you take your index finger, and then you hold the end of it, and you put that in front of you.
Very close.
And its meaning is you have five fathers. Or your mother is a whore.
Wow. It sounds so much nicer. If you say you have five fathers, that sounds like an Italian restaurant.
If you are looking to get yourself deported from Saudi Arabia.
Like the movie
Saudi
Twins.
It's Arab countries in the Caribbean. Okay. You can do no better than five fathers gesture. Uh-huh. And it's once again grabbing the finger, the index finger, at the end with your hand.
They
mother,
make great hamburgers.
Your mother's a whore.
Five fathers.
Jesus Christ, how many of these are there, Rob?
Well, there's a lot of countries.
Now, there's one where you're just reaching out, like almost you're trying to possess somebody.
Okay.
That means something about Hitler, doesn't it?
That's Greece, Africa, and Pakistan. Greece and Italy really kind of taking the forefront.
Sure.
It means to hell with you. In your face. Yeah. I'm going to violate your sister.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're going to move there. No explanation necessary.
Something extra there.
And then there's this one where you put your fist on your forehead.
Okay.
And what does that one mean? That one is commonly used in Brazil. And it means, are you an idiot? There we go.
All you have to do is say no.
And ladies and gentlemen, those are our rude hand gestures of the world. S to D, everybody.
You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I'm a sensation all over the world. I was just a sensation in Beverly Hills. People couldn't get over what a sensation I was over there. In Beverly Hills, everybody's a sensation. Even the people who don't live in Beverly Hills convince themselves that they live in Beverly Hills. Everybody at Hollywood tells you the same thing. I live just outside of Beverly Hills. It's not exactly, it should have been. They forgot to call it. They almost called it. They should have called it. They all live in a town called adjacent. They all tell you, I live just adjacent. About how far? About 90 miles. This way, about. You only see people in restaurants in Beverly Hills. And they're always talking deals in the restaurants, in the millions, in the billions. Without a job, billions, zillions. Then a check comes for $1.25 and 10 people run like something. Everybody's sitting there as a producer without a job. Around here, if you're not working, you're unemployed. In Beverly Hills, everybody who's not working has the same thing. I'm a producer, here's my card. Here's my card, you see my card, I'm a producer. That's all they produce, cards. Here's my card. You know what else they all have? They all have a Mercedes. I pity a Gentile in Beverly Hills. I really pity a Gentile because if a Gentile is in Beverly Hills and he can't afford a Mercedes, he doesn't know what to tell you. He has to admit he can't afford it. What else could he say? If a Jew can't afford a Mercedes, he thanks God he's Jewish. Every Jew who can't afford a Mercedes has the same speech prepared. You think I'm going to buy a German car?
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Buzz Burbank, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his couch, here's Mike.
Enjoyed in 148 countries around the world from the Cappy Pfeiffer Studios. Hey. This is MikeOMaraShow.com. Damn it. Wanted to take you that
I thought it worked.
I missed it by that much. Anyway, it is Wednesday, September 28, 2011, and we are over 9 million downloads and still growing every day. Our show today is brought to you by our good friends over at Colgan Power Sports, a great place to get some ATVs, some motorcycles, your pro Yamaha dealer with at or below invoice deals on all motorcycles and ATVs. And Colgan also features parts and service on all makes and models, plus free pickup and delivery on any service job. In fact, if you mention TMOS, you will get 20% off on all parts and accessories. This is for our local listeners because they are right here in scenic, beautiful Manassas, Virginia, just outside the drugstore district. That's Colgan Power Sports
historic
is open.
Historic
drugstore district is open Tuesday through Saturday. Colgan Power Sports is, but
that's
you can
today.
Shop their showroom anytime because they got a great website. Check them out at ColganPowerSports.com. You'll find their Manassas address, phone number, and email there to ColganPowerSports.com.
Say, Mike.
Rob.
Are you not a fan of their eyewear?
I love their eyewear. That's what got me into the place, and then I started chatting them up, and then, lo and behold, we got a new business partnership.
You own a lot of sunglasses, don't you?
I have an addiction.
When we were in the car on the way to the game, he was changing sunglasses every, half hour. He had to put on a new pair.
Just trying to get them right for the light.
Yeah.
Now is it
right for the light? Different light, different shades.
So it has
shades,
to do with
different
the light.
That's the way it works.
And not with the physical beauty.
No, it's really more the lens. And I buy cheap ones, too.
I know you
do. And
what
you were seeing me do, because we had that weird weather light.
We did.
I was going from the cheapos to the better quality.
The polarized?
Yes, right. I was going, actually, Mr. Santana is correct. Yes. I was going from the non-polarized to the polarized.
So headed to a 3D movie, were you?
No, Rob, I'm so glad you brought that up. We are going to a baseball game. We were going to a baseball
game. That's right.
In 3D.
And, you know, you go to a ball game, and normally it's just a little event, you know, but it happened to be, it just a lot of crap happened at this baseball game.
Surprised.
Every time I looked at the computer, Mark had updated something.
I did. Right. I was doing a lot of updating.
I wrote on my little show prep sheet today, I said, we are going to a baseball game. Mm-hmm. There is an A category, a B, a C, a D, an E, and an F.
Wow.
Now, normally, if I get A, B, and C,
that's usually
a lot.
Well,
that's
normally, if you have A, B, and C, that's a show. What you've got is subcategory. You made an outline.
We have foul ball. We have concession. A concession story
good.
That Mark and I will dance around delicately because we will only be able to really get to it in the bonus hour.
I see.
That's how delicate it is. We have a drunken fan. We have Mr. Lowell, the Mark's friend from
Lowell Melzer.
We have a new role for yours truly, which I was proud of.
Really?
And we have a fan on the field. So it was fantastic last night. Also, RJ behind the wheel, something that caused this moment. I will just say RJ said something to us as we were driving back from Camden Yards last night that caused this sound to play in my head. Because RJ is going to be our wheelman for Iowa.
So,
and what RJ said...
This is a harbinger.
You know, first of all, it was RJ out of control last night. It was RJ speak in his ridiculous backwards way of speaking and saying things that were confusing.
Yes.
It was RJ womanly peeing at the end of the game. And incidentally, for anybody that goes to a ball game, if you have to urinate, it's like being a toddler. Wait till the game's over and everybody's peeing.
Yes.
So you don't do that. You don't do that. Because if you do that, Mr. Thoughtful, you keep your workmates waiting for 15 minutes while you wait in line to, you know, deal with your prostate. But anyway, RJ behind the wheel. We'll talk about that today.
Thank
also, we'll cover the Michael Jackson thing because I think normally I don't like to do topical stuff.
I'm glad
but you know what? This is top of mind. And Rob's got the audio
of
Michael Jackson.
That is just wonderful.
Yeah, I would really like to talk about that because it really blew me away. And when something audio is that significant, I think we have to cover it. Cantaloupe, anyone? Boardwalk Empire. Want to talk about that? One of our other favorite shows that I think. I was talking to Lowell about it last night. It's kind of coming up on The Sopranos as far as it's... I think it's got that kind of style to it. And Andy Rooney, safe home. So that's on the big show today. Let's start out with the baseball game.
Please.
Okay, everybody knows, even if you're a minor fan, that my Red Sox have pooped the bed.
Yes.
And they are down to a tie with Tampa for the wild card. So these tickets that our good friend Mr. Rosenberg, Jay Rosenberg, gave us last night,
nice.
Were, you know, for a significant game. So it was really a big deal that we were going to get a chance to go up there. So it's RJ, it's Mark Ronick, it's me, and we're going to meet Mr. Lowell up there.
Very cool.
And little did I know that I would... that I would have a very special moment, and this is probably the highlight of the moment, and you
really?
Boys don't even know what happened.
Highlight of the night?
Highlight of the night for me, and I will let Mr. Mark Ronick. You weren't there, were you?
I was waiting for Lowell. I'm very disappointed that I missed it.
You know what that means.
What?
That means you should tell it, Mike.
Heavy lifting.
Mike?
No.
I have to have RJ tell the story. It doesn't work
if
I tell the story.
No, Mike.
Don't do that.
Really? No faith at all.
RJ was next to me.
Okay.
All right, I will let you go and just take a deep breath and try to make English your first language.
And you know what? That goes to the listeners, too. Please take a deep breath.
RJ, you know what helped me when I was coming up
Please.
In the broadcasting game?
Please, tell me.
No pressure on him.
Is I pretended like nobody was listening.
Don't worry. 30 seconds into the story, he won't have to pretend.
You mean God honest truth.
You mean like singing in the shower?
Yes.
Yeah, very exactly. good. So RJ's standing next to me. And is it Robert Endilo? Is that I think that's whoever the batter is. And he looks at me like he has no, I'm not going to get any help here. So, I mean, you know when you look at him and he's just going that blank stare.
Could you possibly tell the story as RJ?
No, it's not as good.
Could you jot down key points?
When you do something good,
right,
or something cool,
right,
or something that makes you look good,
right,
it's like having it. You don't want to tell the story yourself.
No, you can't do that.
It's never personally happened to me,
right?
But if I ever do anything good, I would want someone else to tell.
RJ, I'm going to let you do this, and it's important that you do it well. That's all I'm going to say. No,
you can
pressure.
Do it. You can
no
do it.
Pressure.
You can do it.
Go ahead, RJ.
I know I can do it.
Okay, go for it.
You know, we were sitting behind the net, behind home plate.
Yeah, we had great seats, about seven rows back.
Yep.
Behind home plate, really phenomenal seats, and you know, you're right down there in the action, and and you get an occasional foul ball in this, but very rarely because it's got to go straight up. And
the unique thing about Orioles Park, Camden Yards, is that it doesn't have an overhead net; it only has a net in front of you.
That's right.
What he's talking about is they've got a backdrop, and normally in most major league,
you could work at the UN. Do you know that you could translate
in most major league ballparks? You have the screen. And then they've got a screen that continues covering your head.
It's a safety
canopy,
net.
If you will.
It's a safety net. And it's but at Camden Yards, they've just got the front net and nothing on top
I
of
see.
It. So the balls that go straight up and just come over the backstop come straight down.
And which is what I commented on about the only way we could catch a foul ball would be if that happened.
It was a straight pop up.
And it came. Did.
And man, it is a pretty cool feeling.
Did
when
you get the ball?
I mean, we were looking at many foul balls that were going up, and we would look up like this, and then
they go over our heads.
It would go over our heads.
Yeah. We're down right behind, and we're very close, and they go straight
every
back.
Every time the net catches it, the Orioles save $2.
So this one. This one gets popped up
straight
in
up.
I look, and it, I mean,
and it's getting closer.
It is over
closer,
my head.
And
it
closer.
I am looking down like if I was playing baseball, which I used to. I'm going
glove up.
Oh my God! And then at that moment, and this is the way it always works with foul balls, because I've been to a lot of ball games, been close to them. It's putting my cell phone in my pocket. Which
save,
becomes
save
with
the
pressure. With the pressure, it becomes the ordeal.
And you were wearing
you
were wearing your skinny jeans.
I was trying, and I'm sitting there because I'm looking at the foul ball. I mean, get in my pocket. Get the goddamn phone in my pocket. Mm-hmm. And at this point, it starts to drift back, and it drifts back, but only one row
behind you,
directly in back of me, and it hits the guy's shoulder.
Oh,
ow.
It hits the guy's shoulder, and at that point, it goes from his shoulder directly down under my seat.
Oh, wow.
I bend from the waist, and I am in possession of a Major League Baseball.
That's cool.
How often does that happen?
And the guy who got hit, it now rings the bell at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
He was a nice enough guy, and he was there, and RJ can take it from here.
So what was so nice about this whole event was Mike immediately, and I was actually going to tell him or ask him, just hand it off. He turned around and handed it to the young boy behind him.
About a 13-year-old kid.
Yeah. Right. He had a glove. He was actually trying to reach for the ball.
RJ didn't have to ask me. It was automatic.
That's the mic I know.
I like it when I go to a ball game. I hate it when I'm a 52-year-old man.
Of course,
I don't need a baseball.
Yeah. It would have really been a hot mover at the yard sale.
You got baseballs encased in glass.
I get baseballs that
You've
I purchased.
Got a lot of balls.
Oh, okay.
And the one that I have that I think maybe I've got one that was an actual real foul ball, and that was when I was with my daughter.
Ooh.
So that the family got to keep that one.
Memories.
And so this ball comes down, and I turn around to the kid. The only thing I was doing was as soon as I got it and I looked at it. I'm looking around, and we got lots of adults around, and I don't realize that directly in back of me is a 13-year-old kid with a glove.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I looked at it, and I go, there you go.
Right. It was
and
nice
he looks at me, and he gives me this kind of stare that it's just like,
what?
He didn't,
really?
He didn't realize I was. I said, yeah, that's yours.
So nice of you, Mike, because the glove was not because he's a baseball fan. It was to cover his hideously deformed hand.
You say that.
Kind of weird that Rob said that.
Yeah.
Not really.
But that's another story at the ball
for
yard.
For another time, I suppose.
So I turn around, and look.
Now, the guy, I got to ask a question, because really, I've been to a few ball games, and I have a fear that I'm going to get hit in the mouth with a foul ball.
It's because you didn't play sports.
Exactly.
Right.
I'm so at ease on stage, Mike.
It hurts.
A falling Klieg light is no danger to me, but to get hit in the teeth with a baseball, how bad was he hurt?
He showed me his shoulder later in the game. He had a welt that ball hit him. I mean,
kind of
it's
a hunch,
hard baseball. I mean, it can kill you.
They call it hard ball, Mike.
And it was very cool.
Now, what Mike is leaving out is that when he handed the ball to the kid.
That's the part
next thing he realized, the whole crowd started cheering.
I didn't realize, I guess
Mike.
Because I was down.
Oh, and I bet you were on, do they have a jumbotron?
No. I turned around and look, I didn't track with it because, I mean, I did it. It was automatic. I didn't give it, I really didn't give it that much thought. It was like automatic to do that. I was hoping it was even a littler kid, but that was the closest kid to me.
Right.
And suddenly the whole section
is
applauding and I'm getting this
hero.
Credit.
Hero.
That's what it was like.
I'm getting this incredible round of applause. Next thing I know, a vendor comes down and goes, Are you the guy that gave the kid the ball? I like, yeah. He said, on me, sir. And he hands me a Budweiser. He passes a Budweiser.
Wow.
The next thing I know, the dad comes back down.
Value.
I get, I'm getting handshakes from people. People are turning around and they're asking. It was,
That's awesome.
I guess it was the way I did it, I guess, got spotlighted. I think it's because we were down front and a lot of people saw it.
Yeah, that could
and that's
be.
That. Well, that's what it was.
And because we're all shocked these days by an act of kindness of any kind.
Well, you know, there's nothing that right lights there. My candle. When I go to a ball game and I see some hairy guy that's with his butt. And he's got a, and I mean, you know, usually a child. This this was a 13-year-old, young enough where he's still, it's a big deal for him.
Right.
But I like it when you give it to the little kids. You know, that to me is the move that you should make.
Right.
It's a baseball. Okay. Yes, it's a just thrill. You know, and maybe.
And what's great about it is that it was a kid behind you. It wouldn't have been so valid or so noble if you gave it to a child next to you because it would have been like your son or your daughter.
Right.
You found a kid.
It was very clear that this was not a relative
Mike,
of mine. It was funny. And
Mike,
I
very well set up.
Well played.
Suddenly, suddenly I'm enjoying the hero trip.
Yeah.
And it was funny. And I had my little moment of glory. And then I went home to see it on Masson and my wife had taped the game. And I'm looking at it and you see it, and it was not blocked by the score. It was not blocked by the score. But RJ, this is where RJ goes into the land of
here we go.
Baggery. But it's the way, there is a part of you.
RJ's bag.
You're a good friend of mine, and I know you root for me, and I root for you, and we are good friends. But there is a part of your personality where you thrill at things going wrong. You would rather have things go wrong sometimes. It's so true, but you don't even realize it. You like things to. Am I being accurate here?
No, it's like it's like, look, I know I have an obsession with Back to the Future, but it's like if Doc Brown said, if this thing goes 88 miles per hour, the car might blow up. RJ would be the guy that walks on set and says, well, it probably will.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, right. He has a certain joy in it. And you know what else is, you know, my wife shares this. My wife is quite fond of me.
Right.
But if I screw up or do something stupid, she cackles like it's the greatest thing ever.
This was, we will discuss this. This requires just a bit of time.
Okay.
We will take a break. We will come back.
Okay.
And I will let Mark relay what to me is vintage Diaz.
We'll be right back. Great. Now we got Mark.
Everybody shout.
Welcome back to the second part of the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Wait Not. Rob Spiewak is in the get-go stages of the Wait Not program and thrilled with it. It's 855-WAIT-NOT, 855-934-4486, or waitnot.com. Take it away, Mr. Spiewak.
Can you imagine my joy this morning when I woke up, got on the scale, and found myself not only under 300, but 17 pounds down from
where
I was?
17 pounds. There you go, baby.
There you go, Rob.
There you go.
And I was genuinely, I mean, I'm ready for this to sort of curtail, but the weight keeps dropping.
You've been on a lot of different, I've been with you while you've been on
many of them.
And you've been successful. However, have you ever had anything
I've never
close?
Had anything this fast.
It's a lot of fun.
I've never had anything this easy. And there's the thing, Mike. I've never done anything that's this natural. You know what I get up and I have for breakfast?
Mm-hmm.
Eggs and fruit.
Right.
Just like a real person.
That's a real breakfast.
I had it right before we started the show here. It really is.
For lunch, I have some sort of protein, a meat, and a salad. Mm-hmm. I have salad, meat, and fruit for dinner.
Why are you scratching your head like that?
Because my head head is.
He's allergic to fruit.
He was doing his Wait Not testimonial, and he's going,
there's a nervous twitch.
I thought it was some sort of palsy.
Because he's
move.
A little kid at heart.
Yeah. Why don't you ever give me
he's
a ball?
He's a little kid that, like, if he was on camera, it would be like this.
Yeah. You've nailed it. You've never met someone so ill at ease on the air.
No show business training whatsoever.
No, it's the opposite of being ill at ease. It's
too
like
comfortable.
So anyway, I'm doing the Wait Now program, and
but seriously, 13 days into it, 17 pounds down, and you can't argue with it. And boy, do I feel good when I get up in the morning. I can't wait to get up and weigh myself. In the old days, I just didn't even want to get up.
Right.
So you know, it's huge. It's fantastic.
It's unbelievable results you can believe in. 855-WAIT-NOT, 855-934-4486. They are doing wonders to combat this problem we have in this country known as obesity. And we really, really thank all the people at Wait Not. I'll tell you, my own personal experience with Paul and all the good people over there is that they really do care. They're passionate about it. They're thrilled at what they do for a living. Mm-hmm. And you sense that if you call their counselors there, they can really, really help you. And we've gotten not just Rob, not just RJ, not just me, but we have people all over our listening area that I've actually written in with your testimonials. Please check them out. It's WaitNot, WaitNot.com or 855-934-4486. All right, we're back discussing this, and this to me is after I have the whole foul ball.
Yes.
First thing that pops into my head is that we might have gotten a little TV time.
Yes.
And who doesn't want to be on TV at a ball game?
Everybody, so you everybody home does. And checked.
Very, very exciting.
The reason you go.
Well, prior to that, I guess RJ got a text message from his son.
Right.
Who I guess was
he
aware
in jail again?
He is aware. He's my biggest fan. He's aware of where. Where we were sitting.
Stop it, Rob.
I agree. Yeah. That was way, way over the line.
And over this, the line. All right, Mark will share this. Mm-hmm. This is classic.
One toke over the line.
Diaz. This is classic Diaz. Mm-hmm. He stops, taps me on the show. Mike, look.
Yeah.
I've got a text of the TV.
Yeah.
And
so he hands it and he says, look, we were on TV. Here it is. And you could see that it was our area.
Our area
it's
where the
ball
was.
It's a screen cap. The son took a picture of the television screen.
And he says, here, look, but you're covered up by the scoreboard here. You can't be seen. You're on TV.
Which means
he stops the game to show me
joy.
The solid picture of
such
where we
joy.
Were covered by the scoreboard.
Right.
Not to show that we were on TV, to show that we were covered. I said, that is vintage. Then why did you show that to me?
That's two generations. That's two generations.
Yeah, two generations of negativity.
Nobody wants
he
to
brought
me.
This child up to do this.
Yeah.
I can't defend RJ myself.
Dad, here you are, covered by the scoreboard. Yes, yes, go ahead.
You see, that was one single frame, which was 1/30th of a second of image,
which means he
before
got.
And after that, we're in a shot.
That's not what you said.
No, I showed you. Covered up.
You did your quote, and I remember your quote. Your quote was, look, Mike, we're covered, and he was delighted. He was delighted. He said, look, we're covered up by the screen.
There are people
right
that
where we are, Mike.
That's another misinterpretation. Can I deliver it?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, here we go.
Look, Mike, we're here, but we're covered up. I didn't even get to get the rest of it out we could see it later when we watch the video. We'll see us, Mike.
Help me out here.
The whole time Lowell's going, Mike, look, you're not on TV.
And I have to say this.
Lowell
it was
spends,
Mark.
Hold on a second. Lowell, who spends very little time with us, but tracks with our sense of humor.
Yeah.
Lowell immediately goes, hey, look, Mike, you're not on TV. And that is that
you know,
was
if you were alive in like 1890, RJ would somehow send you a telegram and say, hey, Mike, Chicago burned down.
So be chiseling it out on a rock.
So you had this amazing high because you were able to give the ball to a little kid.
It was a thrill. It was,
and
it
then
was
you
so
had
much fun.
This amazing low.
Why? It's not a low. Jeez.
It's here's the thing about it. Getting back to that kid and everybody. I'm not preaching at all here, but the fact is, I've done a couple of things in the last week since I've had a bad turn with losing the gig at the Edge. And what has really helped me, I know this sounds almost like preaching, but the fact is that stuff, that is the classic example of. Anything, if I'm driving home with that baseball, it's not 1/50th as good as handing that to the kid. And everybody should, I mean, it's like, when you're at Christmas, you give a gift to somebody that really loves something. When you get to a certain age, at least that's the way I look at it, it's a hell of a lot more fun to do that than to, outside of like winning the lottery. It's fun to do that.
The anticipation of giving someone a gift that they're going to love.
I shaved my head. There's a kid, another like 13, 14 year old, suffering from cancer, sitting in the second row, grinning ear to ear, watching me get my head shaved. That's going to last me the rest of the decade. I mean, it really is. And because I've been through all this crap, that's when I felt the best.
Yeah,
not when I'm drinking
positive.
Not when I'm drinking 400 beers on my sun porch watching the Red Sox.
That's when you feel the second best.
What's really better? And be honest.
Okay.
Giving that kid the ball or hitting a jackpot on a slot machine.
How big of a jackpot?
Let's say 50K.
Well, 50K?
Oh, well, come on.
There is
what you have to do is make it you have to make it a fairer fight.
You're not playing right.
5K.
I was going to say.
There's your answer.
That wasn't my answer.
Well,
my offer
thought
was
I'd give
this.
You a number.
My offer was this.
You know, 1,700 would work for me.
I was going to say 2K.
That's better than giving the ball to the kid. You know, that kid doesn't get the baseball if I get a $1,700 jackpot.
2K, then obviously.
Life has changed for me a little
2000
bit.
2,000 was going to be my guess.
Nope, 17.
Okay, 17 is
1,500.
About 1500 is the price of happiness.
Do I hear 12?
You know, I'm sorry. I'm going to go lower. I'm sorry, guys. Got to be honest here. That kid doesn't get the ball for an $800 jackpot.
All right. That's a hit, though.
Yeah, that's a big hit in Charlestown.
If you say $1,200 is better than giving the kid the ball, but that's got to be $1,200 that you leave the casino with.
Yes.
You can't give it
in
back.
In my pocket. Right. I can't give it back. Right. It doesn't get back. But of so course, case, we all know that never happens.
It's a fairy tale.
We all know that doesn't happen at all.
It's a fairy tale.
I'm so glad we... Thank you, Oscar, for getting us back on the douchebaggery train.
I had to level out the playing field.
That's terrific. So, that's good.
That is terrific.
Oscar, yes.
So, on to the... and I'm sorry, kind of... I got to get better at getting through all this stuff, because what's the point of writing it down? We got a classic drunken fan.
Really?
And you know what? I get frustrated because...
Was he okay to do the weather today?
He's been really hungover.
Because they don't show this on TV. So the only time you get to see the really great show, and incidentally, show the drunken fans on TV.
Yeah,
I know it's irresponsible.
What could go wrong?
And I know it encourages others.
But it's so funny.
Please do it. So they got this skinhead, this kid that looks like he just got out of juvie hall.
Yeah.
He's got his shirt off, and, you know, about, seventh inning, sixth inning, something like
that.
Yeah,
something
like
that.
You hear this, and you know that's the sound that's either a fight or something's happened. And we look out to right field, and there's this kid.
Streaking.
No shirt on, just sprinting across. Across the field, right in the middle of nowhere, and they let the guy
from first base all the way across past third base to the other side of the field, and he was going to jump. He was going to try to jump over the wall from to the other side.
Right.
He ran over and he
realized the wall's ridiculously high.
Yeah, and he just ricocheted off the wall.
Kind of slapped the wall. Now it looks to me
how fast was security on his tail?
Here's the weird thing. This is I think they obviously have this.
Well, they knew he had to come to the side.
Well, hold on. I think they have this system down. And
right.
I think that they let the guys run themselves out
trap
a little
themselves.
Bit.
Right.
That makes
but the
sense.
Fact is, there was, clear sailing between this guy and any of the players he wanted to run
That's
to.
That's not safe.
So he runs back, and you see him, and he touches the center field wall. Mm-hmm. Then he runs back to right field again. And at this point, the cop is about halfway out into right field, and he's on a line with the kid. Mm-hmm. And you see the kid jogging right at him, and the cop points at him. And right at the last second, the kid does a little juke to the right, and the cop tackles him. And I'm like, that little juke to the right probably landed him.
Yep.
Instead of like going home the next day, maybe one or two more days in jail
right.
because
See,
of that.
This never happens when the Nationals play because in D.C. they have snipers.
It was fun to watch.
That's
and then they bring
that.
The kid because we were down and we had those great seats.
In the stadium, RJ.
We were actually, we got to see the kid come down. What do you have, like an eagle
he
on his chest?
He had a big eagle going across
big
his
eagle
chest.
Across. And
tattooed.
The kid looked to be like 16.
I thought this is going to be the best idea ever. But
he
it
was
turned
getting...
out to be a bad idea.
And of course, I'm one of the douches that applauds him with everybody else.
Sure.
You applaud him. Like,
well, you like the
way
showbiz.
To go, young man.
You like the showbiz
I
of
enjoyed
it.
The show.
I did put that video up on Facebook.
Oh, that was yours?
Yeah.
Okay, Mark got it where the kid gets walked right by us and this is where you like you want to take a look at the face and analyze it and everybody's applauding the kid oblivious he is
I was
he
surprised.
Was so wasted
too
on whatever he
really?
that to me said maybe not beer that was some other narcotic
Nothing.
That might have been
it could have been Quaaludes angel dust
it was great and it was just kind of fun to see it because they don't give you that pleasure when you're watching it on TV
Husker-doos.
Concessions Let us simply say...
What did they concede to you?
We will discuss this in the bonus hour.
Really?
That's how important it is.
I can't wait.
Wow.
Now, does it have to do with the food or
It has
the
to do with Mark Ronick and I going to hell.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, I'd like to lead the subtopic of dipping.
We
dots.
Really can't even go into great dots. Detail.
No.
Even on the bonus hour, we will have to dance around.
Oh, they'll be dancing?
Wow.
But just...
salsa dancing.
Suffice to say, it... It was interesting.
Oh, yes.
That's all I can
that.
Say on that. Mm. Let me see. Quit. And I was the designated driver last night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you very
about
much.
That?
Yes. Much to my chagrin, I kept trying to get him to have a drink. He would not have a drink.
That's because the
What'd
night
you do
before,
with the free beer?
The night before, I actually went little... back and I looked in the refrigerator and I did an estimate on it. I drank 130 beers.
Wow.
That's too many.
The night before.
Yeah.
So I can't do two nights
That's
in a row.
Tall boys?
Well, yes. Oh, yes. Pints.
That's down from your old record.
It's a new beer, Rob.
160 pints. Yes, Boddington's.
Yeah, I've heard of this.
Boddington's ale with the widget.
Delicious.
So when you open it up, it goes, and the little
nice.
Widget.
Oh, like I think Guinness designed
but
the,
it's not
the technology.
As thick. It's not it's an egg. It's not
milk.
A stout.
Absolutely.
Is it?
Wow. And I, you know, and I Mama. Don't. It was yummy. It was yummy. But no, I can't do two. I say the only reason I'm not in rehab is because I can't do two nights in a row.
Good
I can't.
For you.
I can't do it. I'm
be
not
proud
capable.
Of that. Yeah.
So,
but it's
know,
on tonight.
It's no, maybe not even tonight. It's serious business. I haven't even talked about the baseball.
Serious business.
The baseball end of this.
What's the
is
word?
The Red Sox are tied with the Tampa Bay Rays,
yes.
And they're going down to the last game of the season.
Ooh.
If both Tampa loses and the Red Sox lose, it's a one game playoff on Thursday. If both Tampa and Red Sox win, it's a one game playoff on Thursday.
Wow.
If Red Sox lose, Tampa wins. Red Sox go the F home with the greatest collapse, one of the greatest collapse, probably the greatest collapse in their franchise.
How many games
history.
Were they up 3 weeks
Ten.
Ago?
10 games.
Who's playing who?
The Red Sox are playing the Orioles.
Oh, okay.
And I'm half a mind to want to get back up there tonight.
You should.
I just don't want to drive up
Big
there.
Big game.
I'd rather like sit
drive.
On the porch.
You pick me up and rest it, and I'll drive.
Oh, man, I don't know.
Yeah, you should go.
Do it, man.
Did you do any exploring?
I didn't look yet, but we can find them.
Because there's, I tell
we
you,
can find
no
tickets.
One's
there
going to
only
the
half
Orioles
the
game.
Yeah.
Seriously, just the stadium. Stadium's like half empty.
They've had a rough year. Yeah.
Mike, that is so pessimistic. I like to say the stadium's half full.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr.
Who's
Positive.
Who's Tampa playing?
Tampa's playing the New York Yankees, who have laid down for two
collapsed.
Games in a row. So the Tampa is on the verge of sweeping the New York Yankees.
Yes.
And if they do
that. Any chance the Yankees will step it up just to keep them out?
I don't know. All I know
I don't
this
know
might,
the psychology
this
of
might be my own paranoia, but I tuned into the Yankee game after the Red Sox lost the other night
right.
And the Rays were winning, and I really the announcers for the Yankees sounded giddy, and the Yankees were getting their ass kicked and the announcers for the Yankees were like okay, let's screw Boston, which I think they might do.
Oh, I forgot
my
about
own,
that I forgot
that's my
about
Boston
that, yeah.
paranoia
yeah.
So I've got one maybe two games left of baseball for the year, and it's come down to how many games they play? 160 games?
162?
162 games.
About right.
And it comes down to the last two games. It's really...
And it's right up the street.
As much as I hate the... You know, we should go.
And it might be 163.
We should go.
Come on, just
go. I'll see if Carla wants to go, too. I'll see if she's into it.
Well, what's really gotten you... considering
up.
This is oh, that when, as we were leaving the game,
yep.
a dude pulls up to us and says, "Are you guys coming back tomorrow?" And we said, "No."
We had Rosenberg's tickets; they were great tickets, and he had the premier parking.
Whoa!
Yeah, we just said, "No, we're fine, we're fine." And he started to drive off, and then we were talking about it, and I said, "You know, he probably wanted to give us like his parking pass or
right.
something."
Right. Ronick does a dead sprint back to the car.
Mike's like, "Oh, I wish I should have done that."
Because I'm right at the point where I'm still on the fence about whether I want
to
go.
So
or
I just hide. Tailed it to the guy's car as he's pulling out, knocked on his window. So now Mike has a nice free pass.
Well.
And it's right there at the stadium.
I mean, right at the stadium.
You could throw a rock at the stadium.
So we'll see.
If you don't buy tickets, Mark will just drive up and sell the parking.
We could really, we could go up to the game. We could actually drive up to the game and buy them at the window.
Absolutely.
And then sip wherever the hell we want.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about it. All right, we'll see.
Do you have the stubs from last night?
Yeah, what's that?
Do you have the stubs from last night?
That doesn't
they don't
work that
sometimes.
Way.
No,
right.
They're electronically right scanned.
I look forward to tomorrow's report from Baltimore Billy.
Now, I know you have a long list, and I know we're running out of time, but did you have on there the Jumbotron?
The Jumbotron, no.
Oh
my God,
yes.
thank you. Better than anything
I
had. Because
yes.
I had the designated that driver, and then I said the fan on the field. The greatest move. Everybody's been doing a sporting event where they have what's called the kiss cam.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
This was, I think, the funniest moment of the night. And we had a lot of great moments in this ball game. Thank you so much.
Because
I'll wrap it up with this. Mm-hmm. This was fantastic. They have the kiss cam, which I love. I think it's one of the greatest features.
Yeah.
You get the uncomfortable couples that don't know. You get the sister and
you
the brother.
Never know
you don't know
happen.
Who the man and woman are sitting next to each other. And
it's
if they're
a great
couple,
chance to boo everybody.
Oh, it's and if the couple kisses, they get the applause.
Right.
So they go through. And they go through everybody, and they finally get to this guy.
Uh-huh.
And he looks to be about 23, 24 years old. And he's there with his girlfriend. And he's got the beer in his left hand. And he's sitting next to his lady on the kiss cam. Yeah. And you see all the old couples kissing. You see the little boys and girls kissing. Everybody's kissing. This guy looks like he's confused.
Very confused.
And he's looking. He looks at his beer. He looks up into the sky. He looks at his girlfriend, knows he's on the Jumbotron, doesn't appear like he's going to be kissing her. And then right when I think they were about to pull the camera off him, he takes the girlfriend's head and he pushes it into his lap.
On the Jumbotron.
We were high-fiving each other. Fantastic. It was absolutely, and you know, that relationship is probably going to go.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw them cut so quick off of that
my,
shot.
And of course, those women in front of us did not like the male reaction.
And I went
that.
And looked back behind us to see the kid, because that's the first thing I thought of. Right. I see his dad trying to hold back his laughter, and the kid's just looking around like, what's so funny?
I don't get it.
Why is he pushing her head?
This is exactly how it looks. The kid's like...
It was great. It was great.
Absolutely monumental. Great night. One of the best games. And
great
best,
night of foot baseball.
Best times at the ballpark I've had in a long time. We'll take a break. Come back with the audio vault right after this. Welcome back to MikeOMaraShow.com. You know, you go to a baseball game, you don't think you're going to have this much material. It was not fake, folks. We actually had that happen.
It all happened.
And the second part, the third part, Rob's Magic Audio Ball, brought to you by More Broadcasting's Football Beat Show. If you want to know about the NFL, especially your fantasy football, let's say you're into football like RJ,
let's
the Football Beat Show brings you the latest news and player information every Tuesday afternoon. Now, it's hosted by our good friend Lou Tranquilli. One of the greatest names in the world.
It is.
That's BFDFantasyFootball.com. That's where Lou's from. And it's the Football Beat Show. Mm-hmm. It's the podcast. They do it on Tuesday afternoons.
That's right.
And you can get it like whenever, right?
Yeah, anytime after, although I didn't have time to post it because we took off yesterday. So it'll be there today.
All right.
Oscar guested
they're
yesterday.
They're extremely thorough.
Yeah, they know their stuff.
If you talk about guys that really know what they're talking about, and they have guests from around the country.
It's amazing.
That are accredited and published. And when I got on there yesterday, they were so serious about their pickups and their trades and mm-hmm. who they're eyeing.
If you're into it like that, that's the show.
I think they hate me. Because
No. They don't hate you like they hate me.
My appearance on the show was a schtick fest.
Right.
Between saying, what show is this I'm calling? And what time are you on?
See, if you do that, I don't want to even go on the show. I'll be 10 times worse.
It's tough. That's
I'm
a
one
tough
of the biggest
gig.
Sports fans in this room, but I when it comes to fantasy
that's
football.
That's saying a lot.
When it comes to fantasy football, I do not track with it that well.
Well, it's not even about, they talk about football and fantasy football.
In general football.
Yes.
And I would be curious about Michael Vick and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
right.
And,
I'm glad I didn't make that trade with you now. Yeah,
I know. He'll be back. He might be back this weekend. I'd like to know what Lou Tranquilli says. It's the Football Beat Show, available at morebroadcasting.com/football and on iTunes. All right, so we are back. Before we get to the audio vault, one quick story.
Okay.
This pertains to Iowa. As we're driving to Iowa,
oh no,
RJ's going to be our wheelman.
Yeah,
the way it's
mostly,
shaping up,
yes.
Really well, actually, maybe exclusively.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, it has to do with insurance.
I understand. Like when you rent a car.
I think it's going to work that way. We're going to try to see what we can do.
Yeah,
we're
right.
Working on that, but it might be RJ exclusively the wheelman.
You got a preview, though, a harbinger of what that's going to be like.
Well,
on the road trip.
He told a story. Uh-huh. I was the designated driver. Uh-huh. But he told the story about...
Was he in the front seat with you?
Yes.
How nice.
And he was telling the story about how he drove down to Florida.
Yes.
And fell asleep at the wheel.
Oh, I've heard this story. It's a good story.
And ended up in the median and then tried to correct and went 50 feet down a ditch and rolled his Mustang.
So for insurance...
That's our driver, everybody.
Our driver.
So for insurance reasons, he'll drive exclusively. that makes perfect sense
it
to
does.
Me.
So
Mike,
it does.
You know, I told you I was 17 and
yes.
stupid
yes.
when this happened.
That's right. He was 17 and just back from Okinawa. He was fighting in the war. And
we'll make sure you get plenty of rest. We'll
a lot of 5-hour energy.
We're going to be doing a lot of day driving.
With Buzz... And his itinerary, we're not going to drive it more than 2 hours at a time.
That's right. It's going to be fantastic. It begins. Let the ball busting begin. Get those cameras ready. All right, let's open up the audio vault.
Open the thing.
For Wednesday, this is September 28, 2011. Take it away, Rob.
You wanted to get to this earlier, but we have it now. Mm-hmm. The Michael Jackson case continues as
yes.
to whether or not Dr. Conrad Bain is a... Conrad Murray,
Murray
I'm
Murray.
Sorry. Dr. Conrad Murray
Conrad
is...
Bain. How did you make him the guy from was it the whole black thing with Michael Jackson? He's from Different Strokes,
just like messing up a name once in a while.
Bain.
Like Conrad Bain, very talented man.
So Conrad Hilton is on trial for his life.
That's right. William Conrad is represented.
Robert Conrad is actually dealing with his life
what
now.
What are you talking about, Will?
I dare you to knock that off.
Okay, the thing is that they said, oh, you know, he did it to himself, and there was no sign that he was under any troubles
with
addictive medicine. Mm-hmm. This is taped on 10 May 2009, weeks before Michael Jackson died.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that flips me out about this, the tape of Michael Jackson the most, is he's using his what I think is his regular voice, and it's a low voice. It's like a grown-up voice,
right?
Like when Charlie does his grown-up
it's
voice.
Amazing.
And this is the tape they played in court yesterday of Michael Jackson blasted out of his mind. It's a little hard to understand, but he, in essence, he's saying he wants his concert to be the best concert ever, and that when people leave, they want to have said, "That's the greatest entertainer I've ever seen. You have to go to this concert." Funny. Here is Michael Jackson.
Propanol.
When people leave the show, when people leave my show,
people see my show.
I want to say, I've never seen anything like this in my life.
I want him to say,
go.
Yeah.
No, I've never seen anything like this. Go. It's amazing. He's the greatest entertainer in the world.
The greatest entertainer
I'm
in the world.
That money, really children,
well, you get the gist.
Right. It's Elvis all over again.
Yeah, it is Elvis. His father-in-law.
In the world. Why do we actually see the top bill?
You know, I listen to that. I say slam dunk. I'm sorry. Slam dunk. This doctor is guilty. Guilty of sin.
Yep.
What's interesting is that he was so whacked out on propofol that he forgot to change the battery on his smoke detector. Did you hear that chirp?
Oh, my God. I did. There was that.
Yeah, if you play it again.
Was that a smoke detector chirp? Wow. Here is Dr. Conrad
Way
Murray's,
up high, too, with those big high ceilings.
Conrad Murray's lawyer is still sticking to the story that it was suicide. Here is Dr. Murray's lawyer.
Michael Jackson self-administered a dose of propofol that, with the lorazepam, created a perfect storm in his body that killed him instantly. He died so rapidly, so instantly, he didn't even have time to close his eyes.
I say put Conrad Murray in jail based on the fact the lawyer used the phrase perfect storm, because it's way overused.
And I will tell you this. Listen to the quote. Even though he is whacked out of his gourd, the quote from Michael Jackson, they will say, there goes the greatest entertainer of all time. He was jacked. Anybody that watches This Is It, he was ready for this tour.
And you know what?
As far as he was you know, into performing.
An amazing
And he was really ready to go. And the sad thing when you watch This Is It is you say, man, there was gas left in the tank.
On the brink.
And, you know, he really would have put on an amazing show. But he is so completely addled because he's enabled by this doctor. I mean, that's the bottom line, because the doctor got tons of money.
When you saw This Is It, the amazing thing I walked away with is he really, Michael Jackson, one of Wait Not's greatest successes.
Oh, Jesus. No. That is so... That is too soon.
Propofol, though, because both...
Very thin.
God. Both my brother and my brother's fiance are anesthesiologists.
Right.
And I always make that joke that I want what Michael had.
Right.
And they... When you do not make that joke.
No. They don't like that at all.
No. Well, no, it's not...
I always thought you'd take a little right before
it's
the audio vault.
It's such a strong,
just a touch,
such a strong drug that they don't even use it. It's not commonly used.
I think we were discussing this because they gave me something for my colonoscopy because they anesthetize you now,
right?
And
did they give you a full go under, or did you get like a twilight?
Twilight.
I think it was kind of a twilight type of
thing.
That's
the usual.
But that is the Nancy Snyderman on the Today Show this morning was talking about. That's a huge. That is a huge outpatient anesthesia they use because it gets processed through the system. She also said that what you were listening to Michael Jackson on was not propofol, because that's flushed out of the system. She said that he was probably
coming
on a Xanax, a Valium, that type of thing.
Or
that's
Bodinger's.
When he was whacked out. Listen up. listen to me. Listen.
Kenny Ortega, the man who gave us High School Musical, and as a parent of a young girl, and I'm sure... I'm sure Mark will join me in saying,
all about it.
Thank you, Kenny Ortega, for those great films. He was the director of This Is It. And he also had an interesting testimony on the stand yesterday, saying that during the filming of This Is It, Michael just wasn't right.
He appeared lost and a little incoherent. And although we were conversing and I did ask him questions and he did answer me, I did feel, though, that he was not well at all. He wasn't there, like, you know, it was just, there was something wrong.
And the sad thing is, you see this as it. If that's him not well, can you imagine him at the top of his game?
Yeah.
Scary.
Absolutely. Also hearing that, that's the way that Mike feels about RJ.
It's sad. Something's and wrong. You know what? I tell you, you know, I go back to the whole thing. And you know, I really hope that, I really, for, as far as Michael Jackson is concerned, I really do believe he had those kid issues, you mm-hmm. know, and that sucks. Because, I mean, right. really, he was a great entertainer.
There were some problems
know?
There.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, that kind of got whisked away with this whole, you know, you die in America and you're a famous person. Right. All your bad stuff gets forgotten. Yeah.
I can't believe still, it seems surreal to me that he's Elvis's son-in-law. I mm-hmm. still, I know, I walked through the whole thing. I saw it happen.
Barely a brush by,
but
though,
still,
really. Yeah.
It's just wild. I want to change the subject, if I may.
Yeah, please do.
I love when Germans get a camera and get on the YouTube and complain about spiders. Have you seen this?
I have not.
This
no.
is a young German man who's in America who doesn't care for the spider known as the Daddy Longlegs.
Oh, the
Daddy
Longlegs.
Naming Daddy Longlegs? Why is it that? I don't like that. It is like...
Of course not.
We name a cockroach cockroach. We name a horse a horsing. Daddy Longlegs? What? Who is naming this, Daddy? Is this a shortness for like for father long legs or something? I don't. What? And you know, I don't like Daddy Long Legs. That is another. It is like a big, it's like a furry ball with some sticks that come out. That is not a spider. That is not like a grasshopping.
Grasshopping.
What are you doing? How does a Daddy Long Legs make a life?
What?
It is like very light. Who's building the Daddy Long Legs? Where was Mother Nature? Maybe sleeping? Or was it a coughing break? What are you doing?
Coughing break.
Daddy Long Legs. I don't know.
That's terrific. Got time for one or two more, Rob.
All right, then let's go. You ever watch Jamie Oliver, The Naked Chef?
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
I was shocked. Shocked I was.
Yes?
At how dirty his show is.
Really?
Yeah, I turned in The Naked Chef. I thought maybe some tasteful nudity, but this just seems way, way over the
top. Hi, guys. Welcome to the Ministry of Food. I've got a bit of a but it's not hard. It's just over a centimeter thick, so it's not wobbling. Lovely. And you're going to rub it backwards and forwards again and again and again. And, you know, not that there's a rush, but, you know, you need a sense of urgency. You can't just sit there sort of poking it around, okay?
Right.
So keep it moving. We don't want it to be wobbly, so just keep tossing it off. There's no point in getting scared now. Rub it all over. Be careful. Don't slap it all over the place. You're going to get in trouble. Now, the question is, how do you like your balls? Personally, I quite enjoy little balls. I'm going to put it full whack into your burger, again and again and again. And then we can have a little look inside it. And then I'm going to put it in your mouth.
I mean, really, does that have any place on television?
That's absolutely
that is your
filthy.
Magic audio. Yeah.
Thank you very much. We will take a break, come back with Buzz and News right after this on the Mike O'Mara Show. I ate a Vegemite sandwich. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. It's time for Buzz and the News. Take it away, Mr. Buzz Burbank.
Thank you, Mike. We're brought to you today by iConfidential.com. With $1 million coverage and the same security as your bank, iConfidential is the safe way to organize, access, and share your files, pictures, and music anywhere. Use the code TMOS to get the first month free. After that, it's just $7.95 a month. Store files and grab them from anywhere with your own 40 gig of organized storage. Now have all your important stuff available on demand with iConfidential. iConfidential.com. Click their ad on our website. We appreciate it. It has come to this. Hallmark has started selling Sorry You Lost Your Job cards. And they're reportedly selling very well.
Thank you. I'd appreciate all the ones people would like to send me.
I was really scared when I got one from Mike yesterday.
Like other cards, they range from sensitive to silly. Iran is planning to send warships to sail near the east coast of the United States to give us a taste of our own medicine, apparently. It's partly a protest.
Blow them out of the water.
They're in international waters. Mm. So they're not really in our waters.
I don't care.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
That bugs me.
It's partly
it pisses me off.
Well, see,
I like it. Does it drive you bananas?
Drives me bonkers. They're, for the birds.
They're pissed off about our warships being, you know, just off their coast.
Yeah, and well, they're a little hut country in the sand.
This is partly their protest. And they don't have a very good navy, so I don't know
hut country.
I don't know how threatened
in the sand
we should feel.
And all those years at the State Department.
The other reason they're doing it, honestly, is to distract their own people, Iranian citizens, from the trouble their own government is having, especially during this Arab Spring, to get their minds off of that and focused on the evil United States. Well, that's the pitch from the government.
I think we ought to get like about a 21-foot Boston Whaler.
Mm-hmm.
And
my dad will loan you his.
We'll take Robert's skiff.
We use one of Ted Turner's.
We'll take Bob Spiewak's skiff.
Uh-huh.
His Carolina skiff out right. with his outboard.
It does great in the open water.
And we'll really take all it out. Need. We, you know, and you know, if Rob and I are on it, that'll give it ballast.
Yeah, all we need is that and some bottle rockets.
And we'll go out there. Yeah, and a slingshot. Absolutely.
That'd be good.
Bricks. Some 20,000 missiles are missing from an unguarded warehouse in Libya. 20,000 missiles. ABC News reports these shoulder-fired missiles capable of shooting down a commercial jet could fall into the hands of Al-Qaeda if they have not already.
Well, that's
Oscar tucked them
the
in the couch.
The government's on it.
They've had these shoulder-fired things forever.
They got 20,000 more of them
Yeah,
now.
But I wouldn't worry about it.
All right. I won't. Terrorists are not necessarily named Abdul. Sometimes they're named John Francis. In Michigan, 64-year-old John Francis Lechner has been arrested for allegedly having 4,000 pounds of explosives in Michigan and a record of making anti-government statements.
I want to apologize for having all those explosives.
Look at this. We're gonna blow you up here. We're
John
blow
Francis.
Your name is John Francis.
God, where's your fertilizer?
Yeah, surveys, come over here, infidel.
Surveys show Republicans have not been thrilled with their choices for presidential nominees, so a number of them are trying to get New Jersey Governor Chris Christie to run.
I want him to run so bad.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you going to an Eddie Rabbit convention today?
I am. I'm dressed in black for the big Eddie Rabbit show tonight.
No. Now, why do you tease him when he's working props?
I'm sorry. At the dinner
theater tonight.
I focus on him when he does his news, and mm-hmm. suddenly I'm looking at his outfit, and it looks like, well, I'd love a rainy night.
Yeah, I'm dressed totally in black.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
Go ahead.
It's slimming.
Speaking at the Reagan Library in California yesterday, Chris Christie emphasized that he is not running in 2012.
I'm not running in 2012.
As a matter of fact, he hasn't run in over 10 years.
He can't run.
That's right.
I hope he runs because I like
him. Me too. I love him.
I like him because he's fat. That's the only reason.
And then, God, I love that.
And then after saying he can't run, he spent some time outlining his foreign policy.
Yeah, but
which
also,
a governor doesn't usually need unless he has bigger plans.
It's
well,
so
New Jersey's
funny.
Different.
When we're picking these people, though, uh-huh. you know, and I mean, that's what it is.
Right?
I think we got a president right now that we love the way he makes speeches.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. It just seems to me that I'm going to be a lot more prudent in the way I mm-hmm. pick a president and the way I support a candidate because I don't want to get excited like everybody does. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are excited about this guy. But has anybody really scratched the surface and gotten deep on what he's all about? No.
Oh, it would require a lot of scratching.
Yeah. But I do like the fact that he's a fat guy. I like that.
And he is really good in an interview setting. He's really good as a public speaker. I think he'd be a lot of fun.
Rob, as a fat man like me, you know, though, the yes. fact is, I don't think we can afford a lazy president.
I'm not sure he's lazy.
Rob, all fat people are lazy.
I know.
The truth is, really, all fat people. RJ, would you not agree? All fat people are lazy?
No, I won't agree.
Good for you, RJ.
Well, he's not that fat anymore.
That's right. RJ for president.
That's true.
Exhibit A, the energetic years of Orson Welles.
No wine before it's time.
I just believe that.
Yet another drug company has stepped up to protest the use of one of its products for executions. Back in January, the company known as Hospira stopped making sodium pentothal to protest the use of that drug by states that execute death row prisoners.
But can we believe that they're telling the truth?
Now,
just give them that crap that Michael Jackson took.
Now, Lundbeck Incorporated has sent a letter to Florida Governor Rick Scott insisting that its barbiturate pentobarbital is no longer to be used in putting prisoners to death. The drug is not FDA approved for executions. Yes, they do that. But the FDA doesn't enforce this, and the company says this suggested use of the product, quote, contradicts everything the company stands for.
I say bring Sparky back.
35 states use pentobarbital. They've stockpiled it.
I wish I knew that guy's name for the Green Mile, the little guy, the psycho, because I was going to give you that name. His character in the Green Mile, oh, God, it's not Cecil or something. It's some name like that. Some elder, you know, the guy that gives the guy the bad juice and doesn't put the water in the sponge? burning his head up.
Nice guy. They were still electrocuting people in Richmond when I was going to school there.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
The lights would how happy you are.
The lights would dim in the classroom.
Those were the days.
The toilets.
The Christmas tree doesn't seem quite as brilliant tonight.
Oh, wait, it's back. The toilets have stopped exploding at a government building in Washington. At least one woman was injured this week. The toilet exploded. They say
didn't
it was,
take your fiber.
They say it was a buildup of air pressure in the plumbing system, and who hasn't had that?
Wow.
A memo went out warning GSA workers not to flush to avoid flying shards of porcelain.
Oh, Jesus, wow. That's scary.
That memo was ignored by Governor Chris Christie.
And finally, from the home office, Dateline Emerald Coast, Northwest Florida.
Always.
An
it's
officer,
astonishing. Your track record is pretty amazing with Florida.
I can't believe it myself, to be honest.
Right.
An officer responds to a domestic disturbance call. Drinking buddies tell the cop that this man is usually nice but gets mean on beer. The drunken man allegedly struck his wife after she complained about his day-long drinking binge. Her brother saw this, so he puts the drunken guy in a headlock. When he released the drunken guy punched her brother in the face and then bit him on the chest. Wow. Drunken guy then demands to be taken to jail so he won't murder his brother-in-law. The aristocrats. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
Our show today was brought to you by Colgan Power Sports.
Good story.
Colgan Power Sports is your pro Yamaha dealer with at or below invoice deals on all motorcycles and ATVs. Aristocrats is making me laugh as I continue to read it. Colgan also features parts and service on all makes and models, plus free pickup and delivery on any service job. In fact, if you mention TMOS, you will get 20% off on all parts and accessories. That includes sunglasses?
Yeah, yes, it does. So.
Accessories.
Oh, man, I'm going over there today.
I know.
Colgan Power Sports is open Tuesday through Saturday, but you can shop their showroom anytime at ColganPowerSports.com. You'll find their Manassas address, phone number, and email there to ColganPowerSports.com. For everybody in the room, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.